Would be thankful to you, that we would serve you gladly, that we would be ready and willing always to worship you as we ought more and more according to your holy word. And now we thank you for that great promise of our blessed Lord Jesus, that if we confess him in true faith before men, he will confess us before the Father in heaven, and all Christians will be with you in that perfect world to come. How we long for that. May that more and more be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts as we look for that final day. Again, help us to hear your word and to honor you in faith and service. Guide and direct us. Turn us away from our sins. Cleanse us of all our unrighteousness for the sake of Christ our Lord. Lead us as your children, that you would be glorified. Again, we ask this through Christ our Lord in his holy name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let us again confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And let us turn to hymn number 364, as we are God's children through grace, and we need to hear of his mighty deeds at all times.
The Lord our God is the covenant-keeping God who works through families, works through all generations. Again, we must pass the true faith on to our heirs, and that many more will come to trust in Jesus Christ before he comes again at the last day. The Psalter reading today is number 123, page 852. Psalm 123, the bottom page 852. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us.
Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt.
Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud.
Indeed, the people of God throughout all the history of this sin-cursed world have faced persecution, have faced suffering, have faced those who do not believe in our God and who reject us along with that. But we know the Lord is the Heavenly Father who is faithful and good, who provides for us at all times, and we can always, of course, rely upon His mercies and look to Him to answer our prayers and to lead us as His children. From our Catechism, Lord's Day 18, page 866. Lord's Day 18, questions 49 and 50. What benefit do we receive from Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Second, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. Again, because Christ is raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, ruling on heaven's throne, that must affect how we think and live and all of these things we are to know. He is that one who's our advocate in the presence of our Father. He speaks on our behalf, does what is good for his people always, and it's simply a great assurance that a human being, Christ, who is God and man in one person, is in heaven, assuring that believers will be taken to God to live with him, either there in the soul or, of course, in the life to come with the resurrection. And so even now we have the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as it were, in earnest to assure us of these things, and his power we must rely upon, that we will indeed seek the things that please God, the things that are above, not simply earthly life and what we might desire, even according to our old nature. Question 50, why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ ascended into heaven for this end, that he might there appear as the head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Again, Jesus is given that name, Lord. He is that one who rules over all the universe. He does what is especially for the good of his people. And so we have comfort knowing that Savior is there. The one who died on the cross will certainly do what is good for all his followers. And so we long for his coming again at the last day also. Yes, may we serve the Lord our God thankfully and know he is so faithful and good, the God of all grace and comfort to all who trust in Jesus. And he calls us to worship him, to hear his word, and he will hear our prayers as he promises. So let us then join together in our time of prayer before the Lord our God. Again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you the praise and the honor, all the glory, that you are that God who has created all things to your praise, and you have provided redemption for your chosen ones, even through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world according to your eternal plan. Yes, that glorious plan of redemption. And in the counsel of God, where Father, Son, and Spirit determined to do this wonderful work. And yes, we are utterly dependent upon it. And so we rely upon Christ's saving work and his perfect obedience, his righteousness, and his sacrifice at the cross as the only atoning sacrifice that we can have assurance and comfort even now, to have the forgiveness of our sins through what he did, what he has provided, and to have forgiveness not only now but for all eternity, to have acceptance in your sight, O holy God,
and that we have assurance that you are with us now and always, and Christ is interceding for us truly. Now we praise you for the work of the Holy Spirit, that there is no other way that we could have regeneration, repentance, and faith than the almighty power of God, that he so works and works through the holy word of the Lord God. May we hear that word even today, Heavenly Father, and respond to it in new faith and obedience, even day by day, that you would be honored in our lives. I do pray, be with us, O God, as a congregation, as families and individuals, and that we would, again, hear you and serve you gladly. Maybe we be your witnesses in all things. We pray for that. We pray for your name to be praised therein. And so, again, we ask you to turn us away from our sins, all our thoughts, even of this world, what we would want, rather than your holy will. Help us to submit to you and be glad to follow your commandments. Show that thankfulness in all things of life. How we praise you for answering our prayers and being with us. And we pray that you would continue to show your power and your goodness on our behalf. Thank you for the exam time that Fred had this morning. And we pray you'll continue to bless him. And thank you for what he has learned. May he continue strong in that faith and service to you all his days. Yes, may we all be found faithful, O Lord our God, even to the very end of our lives, until Christ comes again, that we would show that faith. We pray for your blessings, O Lord, upon your church, not only here and throughout our denomination, but throughout all the world. So we ask for our mission works at home and foreign missions that we do give help to, that you would build up your people in faith and numbers in each place according to your good pleasure. Be the first Reformed at Yuba City, and Reverend Paul, Sam Paul, that you would guide and direct your people. They've had struggles, we heard at Synod over the past year with COVID and some loss of members. We pray for your grace to be manifest, and you will be with them and give them comfort and peace and build them up. Thank you for answering prayers for various individuals we have brought before you. For Reverend Henderson, we thank you that he's mostly recovered, and we pray you'll continue to guide him and the peer congregation. Be with Hilma and with all the struggles she's had. And we pray she'll have good care and treatment in the nursing home. And thank you, family can. She'll care for her. And we pray for your direction for the future. And if it's your goodwill, you can give her a good recovery and not have back pain and so forth. But be back at home and be with Dean also. Help them all to rely upon you, Heavenly Father. Be with Hadassah and Joshua. Eve and the new baby that is coming, we pray for your blessings, your mercies to be shown to them, and that she wouldn't have pain going through this time, but Hadassah would have peace and look unto you and be with her physically, spiritually, emotionally, guide that whole family. Be with Zach and Alicia and direct their way, O Lord. Be with David also. May he look unto you and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, be with all of us, that we would serve you in all things of this life, and that you would be honored in that. With those who grieve the loss of loved ones, guide and strengthen us, O Heavenly Father, that you would be honored. We pray for our country, that it would be turned to you and follow the ways of righteousness and peace, the ways of truth that you proclaim even through the principles of your word, not the ways of evil man. We pray for mercies with elections and morality to be upheld according to truth and even our founding documents, O Lord, and we pray that the unborn would be protected, certainly, and life would be valued. Guide and direct us. Again, be with those who are persecuted for the faith, as that happens much greater in other lands, that they would be strong in you, and you'll show your goodness on their behalf, and even win many enemies of the Lord unto Christ, as you have done in the past. Even we think of the Apostle Paul and others who can be turned around even in a moment. And we pray for your power, your goodness, your grace to be manifest in our land and other nations. Again, we thank you for your goodness, O Lord. Help us to hear your word. Help me to proclaim it, and that we would be edified as we ask it all for your glory, even through Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, in his holy name. Amen. Let us then turn to hymn number 705, as we stand to sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Thank you.
not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Maybe seated. The scripture passage for the sermon today is Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 13. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, you know, if we understand God's covenant of grace as proclaimed throughout the Bible, we will know it is God's arrangement to save his people through Christ, through trusting in him. And that is, of course, the only way of salvation, whatever unbelieving man thinks otherwise. And the basic promise of this covenant is, as said to Abraham in Genesis 17, I will be God to you and to your descendants after you. And so as I tell the youth in confirmation class, that certainly means God must save us if we are to be his people. For he cannot have guilty, unforgiven sinners to live with him. And I think you'll hear some things in this sermon that were said also in the exam earlier. Indeed, those raised in the covenant under believing parents or even one parent are to be taught and commanded to keep the way of the Lord, as said in Genesis 18. And if we know the Lord's righteousness and his justice truly, well, you and I know we are not so, not like that. And we must each repent of our sins continually and depend on God's grace in Jesus Christ. For it is only by faith in him that we can have forgiveness and spiritual cleansing from our God. And that reality, dear ones, is the fulfillment of the covenant in a person, in a believer. It is to be acknowledged by the church in what we can see in those to be confirmed. And that reality is essential for each of us, of course. And so today let us consider what that means. Covenant fulfillment is real in us when we know our need of Christ, when we turn to Christ, and when we have life in Christ. Well, here Isaiah stresses our need, sinners' need, with the very first word saying, ho, it means, oh, take notice. It is a cry to awake out of spiritual sluggishness. For sinners do not naturally feel their ultimate need for their souls. And so, yes, they need to be awakened by God's Spirit working through his holy word. And covenant fulfillment requires that we know our need of Jesus Christ. For without him, we are spiritually bankrupt. Indeed, those who are unbelieving are empty, yet are so often puffed up with pride or a false opinion of their own righteousness. They think they are good enough for God, typically. And yet the truth is they have nothing to commend themselves before him. Or say they're allies, friends with this world. And if one is so spiritually intoxicated, as it were, he or she won't receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And oh, dear ones, if you or I trust in our own works, then we will not rely on his saving work, even at the cross. Yet as in our first verse here, Jesus said in John 7, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He is the Savior we need, of course. Now the exile of most of Judah to Babylon because of their idolatry was already foretold in Isaiah, and it's in view here. Their return, the return of a remnant of the people after 70 years in Babylon is foretold as well. And clearly, obviously, that is all of God's grace, His unmerited favor that the remnant would return. Indeed, they had no means to purchase their release. That's why they're told here, buy and eat without money and without price. They were without funds, as it were, or any ability to please God. Again, it is so for us, beloved, that you and I have no means to purchase or earn acceptance with the Holy God. Of ourselves, we are utterly unable to obey and please Him, for we are all spiritually bankrupt by nature. And yet, the wonderful news here is that we need no payment from our works. Salvation is paid for already by Christ's precious blood for all who will believe on Him. And so the people then, now, and always are simply told to repent and trust in the Lord alone, to have forgiveness and life in Him. And that is how the covenant of grace will be fulfilled. And therefore, you know, the most faithful person does nothing to entitle himself or herself to God's favor and everlasting life. Instead, as Isaiah declares, that water, wine, milk, bread are freely given by God, it means those physical items are symbols here of far more, of spiritual revival, nourishment, and life. Yes, for all who hear and trust in their God, or trust this God. To them, the word of Christ is what they need and receive as life-giving. Yes, the sincere milk of the word, as in 1 Peter 2:2. Therefore, to trust and obey Christ is the only answer for spiritual bankruptcy, of course. For this gospel of salvation in Jesus, the Spirit of God and His gifts, feed the soul of every believer. Again, that is covenant fulfillment when we know our utter need of Christ and so receive Him. It is also fulfillment to know that need, for without Him we have no spiritual satisfaction. Well, for anyone, if you know the Bible's message or know yourself, you would declare that life without Christ cannot satisfy. Now, sometimes even unbelievers admit that plainly. Well, God declared it in verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? And brother and sister, all the disappointments we experience in this world certainly should drive us to the Lord. As with the food items here, it is similar to what Jesus taught in Matthew 22 with the parable of the wedding feast or the feast awaiting. It teaches that all is ready in Christ's spiritual feast. The invitations have been given to find satisfaction of soul in Him alone. That is the gospel call to sinners. That is to go forth and to go forth from us, from our congregation, our denomination, yes, from us as individuals. It's to go forth to others. And so for that to happen, I urge you to think what amazing goodness of God it is to offer His grace to unthankful, unworthy sinners as we are by nature. And yet the Lord has promised His unmerited favor in the covenant of grace to all who will truly believe on Jesus. And again, as we heard, we must learn of Him through the Scriptures in all of life. And so trust Him. Oh, as John Calvin wrote, our whole happiness lies in obeying the Word of God. That is, the Heavenly Father leads His people to life through Christ's saving work, through which covenant keepers do rest in. Our assurance, yours and mine, must always be in Him, not in anything that we could ever do. Indeed, brothers and sisters, God's grace is called in verse 3 the everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David. Why is that? Why? Certainly because David had received mercy instead of everlasting punishment for his sins, and he gave great witness to it. We can think how the power of God was shown also in even the military victories that David won. Still the greater son of David is foretold here. For our Lord Jesus is the greatest witness to God's power and grace. And that we rely upon, that he defeated sin, Satan, death, by his own death at the cross and his resurrection. We all who trust in Christ and so have spiritual satisfaction with forgiveness and life are then to bear witness to God's power and grace to save. You know, we are foretold in many passages of Scripture to speak that we will be his witnesses even before those considered the greatest of this world. He said to his apostles, you'll appear before kings and so forth. And that was true. And we're to bear witness before all kinds of people then. Our confirmant will give witness to Christ again in his vows this day. And for all believers, you and I are to live as such prophets, as priests or living sacrifices to God, and as kings fighting against sin and the devil, and to hereafter reign with Christ in eternity. You know, as we bear witness to him, that is the way nations will run to us, as it were in verse 5, meaning to the church of our Lord Jesus, run to him. And so may this covenant fulfillment be more and more brought to pass in us, fellow Christians. It will be so in all who know their need of Christ and find satisfaction of soul in him. Covenant fulfillment is then what we must have. It is also the Christian's real experience when we turn to Christ. Now in John 12:32, Jesus said that when he would be lifted up on the cross, all people would be drawn to him. For clearly God's chosen people out of all nations will believe and turn to Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. And that faith, our Christian faith, is different than any religion of this world. It has to do here with the Holy One of Israel. And so, yes, when we know and trust in Jesus, the Holy One of God, God and man in one person, then his saving work kindles warm affection in our hearts, as said. After all, as the God-man, he died to fulfill this covenant and save sinners. And that is astonishing and yet so true and delightful. It's covenant fulfillment then when we turn to him, which involves repenting of our sins. Well, certainly, dear ones, when the grace of God in Jesus is foretold to have success here in the Gentile nations who were not called his, then Israel should be expected to repent. So it is in verses 6 and 7. You can hear God's message to them and for us, for all people. Indeed, whether you are raised in the church or not, all sinners are told, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And to call upon God is to cast yourself utterly on his mercy. Yes, by repenting, turning away from all your sins, from all disobedience to his commandments, and to seek his mercy. Again, that is what you and I and all sinners must do. Well, note here, the encouragement is to call upon the Lord while he is near. And of course, God is all present. He's everywhere at every moment. And yet his superabundant grace was offered to the Israelites captive in Babylon in this passage. They were assured they could be forgiven. They could be delivered from their temporary bondage as slaves there due to their sins. And now the message of the gospel says more plainly that sinners like us can be delivered from absolute enslavement to sin, from Satan and eternal death.
Oh, yes, beloved, that is the most needed and the best news that you will ever hear. We must each believe it, for it is true. It's the absolutely true word and promise of God. And so the way for you and me to be delivered, forgiven, and accepted as God's people, His adopted children, is simply through God-enabled repentance and faith. We must each turn, as in verse 7, from our own sinful ways and thoughts and rest in Jesus. That means, obviously, relying upon His righteousness, His perfect obedience, which is accounted by God to Christians. Oh, the Almighty will have infinite mercy on all who repent and believe truly. And yet again, let us remember that the grace of salvation is offered while God is near. That is, the time of His grace toward an individual does not go beyond the moment of death or of Christ's return from heaven, if one has not turned to Him beforehand. But now, while you and I hear the gospel, it is the day of salvation. Now all sinners should hear and repent. And God so commands us to renounce our sins, our ways, our thoughts, and this world. Oh, may you and I show that reality when we do turn to Jesus Christ now and always. For it is a lifetime calling, of course, this covenant fulfillment. And it is brought about in all true believers. And all thanks then goes to the Lord our God, of course. So it is when we turn to Christ, as in trusting Him for pardon. Well, how wonderful is God's promise, closing verse 7, that He will abundantly pardon all who turn to Jesus truly. And as our Lord said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. The principle the same here, that God is ready to give and certainly ready to pardon. Indeed, dear ones, His mercy is far beyond what we imagine or think. It is so, even when we think of our worst sins that can bother us for our lifetime, is beyond whatever people have done to us. Think how Peter in Matthew 18 thought he was being so very gracious in going beyond what others might teach. That is to forgive, say, 3 or 4 times. Peter said to Jesus, shall I forgive up to 7 times? But the parable Jesus taught then said that the Heavenly Father will forgive believers their sins, which are more than we could ever count or know. As in verse 8 here, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And so amazingly, what it's all about is that His thoughts and desire to completely pardon His sinful people go infinitely beyond all our thoughts. God's desire to forgive so infinitely. After all, beloved, you and I may at times be sinfully slow to forgive others who want reconciliation with us. Not so with our Creator. Not so with Him when we trust in Christ for pardon. And therefore I say, if anyone here has only been outwardly in the covenant, lacking true repentance and faith in Jesus, the promise of God's pardon is still offered to you. He declares it to anyone who thinks, say, of himself or herself, I'm just too evil. God will never accept me. Then His thoughts are above yours, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth. Yes, dear ones, Christ says that if you and I forsake our evil ways and surrender in faith to Him, then God the Father will abundantly pardon. That means not halfway or mostly, but completely pardon us. And so that is said to everyone who is determined to follow Christ in repentance and trust forever. It is not something we feel or say for just a moment.
Again, that is told to those who are confirmed in our congregation. Those vows are not just for that moment, not just for a day, not just for a year or until out of high school or college or out on their own. The vows are forever. And again, it is so for all communicant members. You and I must rely on the Lord Jesus to keep us, and we must each be faithful, trusting and obeying Him. And that can be a challenge at times. I say, even if friends or family or parents or the whole world would turn away from Christ, we must not do so. Beloved, think of it. Even the great vow of marriage will never last beyond our last breath. Yet this vow to follow Christ Jesus is forever. Let no one forget that. For God will not forget our promise to follow Him. He is the faithful one we must look to keep us, to guide and direct us, to strengthen our faith. Indeed, how wonderful and necessary to know the Lord will enable every true believer to continue in that path forever. His grace is all sufficient, and His Spirit has infinite power to sanctify us. Therefore, to those who confessed faith in Christ, say, many years ago, the timeless God still expects you to follow Him, turning from your sins daily, depending on the grace of the Lord Jesus. Yes, may we each so live as trusting and obeying Him more. May that covenant fulfillment in turning to Christ be the reality in every last one. It is so when we have life in Christ. That is, the regenerated, born again, redeemed life must be ours individually to have covenant fulfillment, to be one of God's people truly. It's not just something we do, and our confirmants are told that also. It can't be just what your parents believe or siblings believe or friends believe, what they confess, what they do, but it's your faith. It must be real in you. It must be real in each one of us. And it is brought about in God's chosen ones through His regenerating Word and Spirit. As the Lord declared in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, God will work through the gospel to regenerate, to make spiritually alive His true people. He will not fail. Not with His chosen ones. Certainly not. After all, as in verse 10, rain and snow sent by God soften the soil and do not evaporate before accomplishing His purpose to bring forth food. And so, of course, the Word of God does not return empty or without effect. It brings forth spiritual life as and where He determines. Clearly then, brothers and sisters, no one can rely on a supposed free will in man to accept Christ on his own, or even to admit the truth of what the Lord says here. You know, with that kind of thinking, God's Word does not work to bring forth faith more so in the one who believes than in the one who does not believe. The latter simply does not make the right choice. However, the truth is that the gospel does accomplish God's purpose to bring forth faith and salvation in every single person He has determined to actually redeem out of all mankind. Truly, His Word never fails when and where and with whom God's Spirit effectively works. The Spirit produces spiritual life in faith, and then faith is that gift of God, as said in Ephesians 2:8. So then I ask, what is confirmation? Again, it is merely the church's recognition that we believe God has fulfilled His promise to save covenant children through belief in Jesus Christ. And the reality of it must be shown then by the life of the confirmed one. It must be shown in the life of each one of us. So it must be when we have confessed faith in Jesus in the past,
no matter how long ago. That fulfillment is true when we have life in Him. And lastly, that means to have eternal glorified life. Well, the last two verses here describe how even nature will be made to help the exiles return to the promised land, to return to their God. And still, it is a figure which goes beyond this life. And truly, Christ always enables His followers to not only return to Him and new living here and now, He leads us on to eternal, glorified life. Oh, brothers and sisters, the regenerating power of God's Spirit must lead each of us and every believer to have a real measure of joy and peace in the Lord, as it's said here. Yes, while in this world even. For if you and I are assured of everlasting life with God, how can troubles of this temporary existence bring us to despair? Yes, of course, we can have great troubles and even depression, but trials here cannot take away all comfort in Christ, who is our only comfort in life and in death. We must each then look ahead to the eternal glorified life to come. And it will be granted to all the faithful in a new and glorious world, liberated completely from the curse that man's sin brought. It will be absolute perfection in the renewed earth, with all believers enjoying it forever. So clearly all of that glorified, that eternal life, will be to God's glory. It will be the glory to the glory of His name and to the name of our Lord Jesus, who has the name above every name. Yes, beloved, most wonderful it is to all true Christians, even this very fact, that those who continue to follow Jesus will give God great glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the greatest purpose that can and ever will be accomplished. For each of us then, may covenant fulfillment be our own personal experience as we know our need of Christ, turn to Him, and have life in Him. May it all be to our eternal joy and to God's eternal glory. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank You indeed for Your mercies, Your grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is Your work, even through Your Word and the Spirit working through that, to convince us, to make us new, to regenerate us, to make us know our utter need of Christ, and to turn to Him, to have true repentance and faith. That is Your work indeed, that we only cooperate with, that we only submit to, that we show the reality of it as You do so lead us. And then to have that life in the Lord even now, to have joy and satisfaction of soul, to have everlasting life to come. Now we praise You for that great assurance, that comfort of the gospel. May it be our delight, and may it cause us to wonder and be amazed more and more as we live in this life. When we see our sins, may we know Your thoughts are greater, Your grace is greater than anything we can possibly imagine. And You have so determined to forgive and to cleanse and to cause Your people to be righteous in Your sight. And so You will do with each one according to Your eternal plan of salvation. Thank You for Your faithfulness, O Lord our God. May we show our gratitude and bear witness to it always, that You would be honored indeed. We pray that many more would be turned to Jesus in true faith then. Guide and direct us then as Your witnesses. And we pray together now as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right. This time I'll ask Fred to come forward.
Beloved of the Lord, the following person, Fred Nelson, has been instructed in our most holy faith and has sustained a satisfactory examination before the elders of this congregation. He is now to be received publicly into communicate membership through confirmation, and the rite of confirmation is the solemn and joyful acknowledgement by the congregation that God has confirmed his covenant promise of salvation, which was signified and sealed to Fred in baptism by granting him repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ upon his coming to the age of understanding and commitment. The child of the covenant, he was presented in his infancy by his parents for holy baptism, receiving in it the sign and seal of the sonship of God. As a joint heir of the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, he has enjoyed the blessings of the means of grace and special instruction in the doctrines and duties of our faith. He now earnestly desires to confess his faith publicly and to enter into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his church by partaking of the Holy Supper and to assume the obligations of communicate membership. Therefore, he now stands before this congregation, before God, in this solemn manner to be received publicly by the church and to be admitted to all her blessings. And so, beloved in the Lord Jesus, we thank God for the grace which was given to you, in that having come to years of understanding, you have embraced God's covenant promise, which was signified and sealed to you in your infancy by holy baptism. Your knowledge of God's grace and promise has been strengthened by the godly example and instruction of your parents and teachers. And you are now to confess publicly your hearty trust in Christ your Savior, which trust the Holy Spirit has worked in you by the gospel, that not only to others but to you also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Indeed, then, you are now requested to answer sincerely the following questions. First, you believe the Bible, consisting of the Old and New Testaments, to be the inerrant and infallible Word of God, and its doctrine summarized in the confessions of this church to be the perfect and only true doctrine of salvation.
I do.
Second, you confess that because of your sinfulness, you abhor and humble yourself before God, and that you trust for salvation not in yourself, but in Jesus Christ alone.
I do.
Third, you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your sovereign Lord, and do you promise, in reliance on the grace of God, to serve him with your whole heart, to forsake the world, to mortify your old nature, and to lead a godly life?
I do.
And fourth, you agree to submit in the Lord to the government of this church, and in case you should be found delinquent in doctrine or life, to obey its discipline.
I do.
Beloved, then, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I welcome you to full communion with God's people, and in particular to participation in the sacrament of the Holy Supper. And I charge you that by the faithful use of the means of grace, the Word of God, the sacraments, and prayer, that you, in humble reliance upon the grace of God, continue steadfastly in the confession you have made to persevere in it. Rest assured that if you confess Christ before men, he will confess you before his Father in heaven. May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory by Christ after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray together. Most merciful God, we heartily thank you for the great goodness you have been pleased to show toward this your servant by giving him grace to embrace and accept for himself your covenant of salvation, which was signified and sealed to him earlier in the sacrament of baptism. And now, O Lord, we beseech you to complete the good work which you have begun in him. Fortify him against the assaults of sin and hell. Do not let Satan prevail against him. Keep him from the evil that is in the world. Help him to walk in the Spirit so that he may not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Defend him from all heresy and schism and from all apostasy and unbelief. Never allow him to draw back to perdition. Make him faithful even to death so that no one may rob him of his crown. And grant, most merciful Father, that having continued steadfast in faith and hope to the end, he may be counted worthy to be united with your saints in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. for you and Bible from the congregation, and well, there's a certificate of confirmation there that you can have your mom do something with.
Well, let's turn then to our final hymn, number 129, I Belong to Jesus. That must be the faith, the confession of all of us who do trust in the Lord for salvation. 129. Receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.